Hi, and welcome to episode 4 of the ReWorkflow podcast, Road to Slate Summit. In this episode, we're focusing on preparing to attend Slate Summit. I'm Megan Story from ReWorkflow, and joining me this week is Tiffany Kawafuchi. Welcome, Tiffany.
Hello.
So, Tiffany, where do you work and what do you do?
So I work at the University of California, Irvine. So it's one of the bigger schools in California. So I work in the graduate division instance. So we have an undergrad and then a graduate one. So they're two separate databases. And I kind of work as the business systems analyst is like my official title. But it's really like a subject matter expert for Slate.
Yeah, so. You're a Slate captain.
Slate captain, yeah.
And we worked together, just to be clear for our listeners. Mm-hmm. I worked with Tiffany for 3 years there at UCI in the grad division, and it was fun being a dynamic duo, and I miss her now. So how long have you been in Slate?
So half of my time in Slate was with Megan as my mentor of everything Slate. So we kind of grew as Slate was progressing as a database. And I think in total, I've been working with Slate for 4.5 years now. Mm-hmm. So it started... My position started as an admissions analyst, so we weren't really doing configuration heavy stuff. We were more just using the database, and now it's more configuration heavy and less reading applications and all those things.
Mm-hmm. And have you been to Slate Summit before?
I have. I've been twice now. I think my first one was actually less than a week after I started UCI. It was like one of the first, I think I went to Summit before I actually went to Launchpad, like throwback Slate things. So that was really overwhelming from what I remember the first time. And then I went again in 2023, so last year. And that was a lot better of an experience for me, having more Slate experience than probably my first year going.
Yes, I went to my first summit like a month after I had started. I will say I did go to, well, I started at the end of April, went to Launchpad like 2 or 3 weeks later, and then went to Summit a few weeks after that. So it was kind of bing, bang, boom.
Yeah.
Which it was a lot. So... The reason I asked Tiffany to join me for this episode is that we're at this transition point in the podcast. The first 3 episodes have been about presenting and how to approach that. But now we're focusing on attending Slate Summit. And I don't know of anyone who puts as much thought and intentionality into attending Slate Summit as Tiffany. So now there may be others out there and I would love to hear from you, but Tiffany is the one I knew. So that's why she's here today. So I wanted to start with, how do you choose what you're going to do? This year, we've already seen invitations going out from preferred partners who are doing events prior to Slate Summit. And soon enough, we'll be seeing a schedule from Technolutions for Summit for the presentations and affinity groups and show and tell presentations, all of that. I'm curious, how do you approach that? How do you decide what to do when there's so many things and a bunch are all happening at once?
Oh my gosh, I totally get the overwhelming feeling at first. I think there's definitely a lot of like info sessions and then pre-meetups, and then you're trying to get your coworkers to also go. And then you're also trying to meet up with your buddies that you've been talking with on Slack. I think trying to figure out what the institution that you're working at is usually my first priority in a way. Also, if you have the budget is a huge one, because sometimes that can take a while to even figure out how many people are even going from your own institution, depending on that. So it's kind of thinking about like, what do you want to get out of going to Summit? What are your goals by the end of Summit?
Mm-hmm. So that's great. And I'm wondering, in thinking about developing goals for Summit, what that maybe looks like. It sounds like that's something that you're doing in consultation, perhaps with your supervisor, perhaps with coworkers, if more than one person from your institution's going. What does that look like, balancing those institutional goals versus those personal professional goals?
That's a great question. I think it can be really hard and challenging too, because on one hand, your own personal preferences are kind of like inherently, oh, I really want to go to this portal session. But maybe at the same time, there's like an affinity group that your supervisor wants you to attend instead. So I think it's really talking with, like for UCI, at least we have a supervisor above me and my coworker who are mostly just handling Slate things. So we usually consult with her first to see, is there any sessions in particular that she'd like us to go to? And then kind of also recommending, well, these are my top picks. And if that aligns with the institution, then great, even better. But otherwise, if it does seem like something that would be beneficial in the long term, even if it's not like the institutional short goal, it might be something I would recommend to do instead. But ultimately, I just defer to whoever paid for my Summit session.
That's some wisdom there. Now, when I was there, that actually all took place in like a formal planning meeting. This wasn't part of casual conversation. This was something that was put on people's calendars. We had the schedule in front of us and literally had a spreadsheet where we were marking here's what people are going to at different times, so that we could get it all planned out. We were pretty strict about that. And that didn't mean those things weren't set in stone. It wasn't like if you got there and realized, oh, hey, this presentation is actually going to be more relevant than I thought, and so now I'm going to go to that instead. That would be entirely acceptable. But I think having a plan is helpful going into it. And now, especially the Slate Summit app, you have the ability to indicate there what you're intending on going to. And I know last year, Technolutions employees said that they were using that to determine which rooms things should be in and determine what capacity they had. So I think that can be really helpful for Technolutions to have a sense of what is the interest level in these sessions so that they can help with space planning, which is good. I also think, and you touched on this, that there is that tension, and I don't think there's a science to this. It's an art form, right? There is tension in that you may have a professional goal of learning more about a topic, and so there's a session on that. But then one of your great, Facebook group or Slack buddies is doing a presentation. And so maybe it would be really great for that relationship for you to go support them, even though maybe you already know their thoughts on building retention policies or whatever the topic is. And so even that, just for your own self, without even thinking about what your supervisor or your coworkers are thinking, you can have that conflict of, I'm not sure what to do. And then you think, oh, my institution has these priorities. My coworkers want to go here. So I think it's good to be thoughtful beforehand and also know that there is no way that you're going to be able to do absolutely everything that you want to do. So just do your best with it, right?
I completely agree with that. It's really difficult to actually like sit down and think about, you know, what priority levels you have, because sometimes in the moment too, when you go to summit, like you meet a connection and they go to a session, and you're like, hey, that sounds like a great session. Maybe I should do that instead. Or going back to your point about the app. So last year when we went, we used the app pretty extensively because it was such a great function, like during the actual event where you could go in and make changes on the fly to start which events that you wanted to go to. And like also talk with your coworkers within the app. Like that was a great function too. But sometimes you'd get to a session that you were planning on going to, and then it would be completely full. Like there would be no room for you to sit down and it would be flowing out the door. So, you know, having a backup to even a backup sometimes helps in those situations too.
I love that. Now you're making those plans. And the two of us, what we love more than anything is documentation.
The weirdos of flight.
So the next step is figuring out how you're going to document. And I think we've already touched on this a little. Once the 2024 Summit app is out, that would be one place potentially that you're doing some of this documenting, what you're intending to do. I'm curious what other tools you're using, or even in a broader sense, how you approach thinking about how you document your plans for Summit.
So throwback and shout out to Megan. She actually created something amazing that we also continued ever since she left UCI. So we have a wiki, like, Confluence page essentially, and we had started in a Google Doc originally, just copying, literally taking the summit session like agenda and then copy and pasting into a document and then putting a column for each of our names that we're going and then picking which sessions we wanted to go just like by the hour that they were going on. So that was something amazing that she did that we are still using today. We still go in and copy the summit like plan as it comes out and make adjustments as they're updating the schedule and kind of figuring out, well, you know, who's going where, and also is it halfway across the venue so you don't have to run, or can your coworker go to that one instead?
Well, thank you. I'm not doing the podcast just so that I'll get praise publicly for work I've done, but it's a nice little benefit. I will say one note about that is that I frequently got pretty excited about building out my documentation as soon as the summit schedule was announced. And then by the time we'd actually go to sit down and plan our schedules, it would be like, oh, the schedule looks nothing like this. They moved a bunch of things around. So maybe just look at the schedule and start thinking about it, but don't actually depend on that schedule until closer to the event. Which of course that's great that they're moving things around. Now I'm curious, when it comes to, you know, getting on the plane from Irvine, getting over to Chicago for Summit, is the app what your primary tool for documenting your plans, or are there other things you're using at that point, other resources that are helpful to you?
So that is a great question that's kind of changed as I've gone to different summits. So I think the first summit I went to, like way back in the day, and saying that it's only been 4 years ago, so it's not even that long ago. But I used to take my own laptop before we had like work laptops assigned to us, and then just be typing notes while we were in sessions, which was great because at the time, you know, it was a lot of like, we didn't know what we were doing. So just document everything really extensively and then share the notes with whoever couldn't join or whoever went, basically. But I think recently, this past year, due to, I think Summit has become such a big thing for a lot of Slate users that it's kind of like the pinnacle of the year for a lot of people, right? So going to it, it draws in like a huge crowd, I think more so nowadays than kind of previous years. So sure. You go to a session and then, like I mentioned, there's sometimes no room to sit. So you're standing against a wall because you really want to be in that session. So last year I used my phone just to take notes like on the fly as I was, you know, and my notes have kind of evolved from being really like, this is literally everything they're saying, to kind of being more picky and choosy about what I write down, more of takeaways, things that we can improve in our own like cycle prep or even just like processes. And maybe like, oh, revisit this presentation because this point was interesting. So kind of like key highlights instead of the whole like word vomit onto a Word document.
Yeah, I love that. I think of my phone as an important tool during Summit. There is something about, you know, after the fact, after the conference, Technolutions will provide the presentation slides. But the employees at Technolutions have just, you know, put in all this work for this event. And mm-hmm. So that doesn't happen immediately after Summit. You know, they're all traveling back to Portland or New Haven or wherever they are and having to get back into work mode just like the rest of us after the mm-hmm. conference. And except for we weren't the ones hosting it. So there's even more that was on their plates. And so those presentation slides don't get put up immediately. And I really like having those screenshots of things that really stood out to me available. Mm-hmm. So you can just take that picture with your phone and then have that to reference in your notes is really nice. And presenters are starting to provide like QR codes at the end of their slides that, hey, here's a QR code that sends you off to a Google Drive or some other place where you can get the slides, where you can get suitcase IDs or other examples and things to learn from. And so having something right there so that you can get that information and include that in with your notes helps you later when your brain is in a total fog and you're like, I took in so much. What were the specifics of everything? It helps provide context for those notes that you're like, what did that note was important to me at some point. I typed it for a reason, but what does it mean now? So yeah, having those images and those links can be very helpful.
Yeah, I have really loved kind of the progression of that, of, you know, people putting the QR codes to their presentations or putting the QR codes on their presentations. I think it's really helpful to know, like, even at the beginning of the session, like, hey, we're going to follow up with some knowledge base documents or, you know, we're going to provide this presentation. So don't feel rushed to like type down everything that you're hearing. Because depending on the topic, it can be really configuration heavy and you're just like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, this is a lot. and just trying to focus on what they're saying takes up a lot of energy too. But yeah, the QR codes have been great. I have really appreciated anyone that's put those in their slides.
Yeah, absolutely. There was also, I went to a presentation last year where the presenters had one of the items that was linked in the last slide of their presentation was an event survey they had set up in their Slate instance where you could fill out a survey for their presentation. And then they had follow-up emails with it, which I will say as a caveat here, they were moving into consulting. And so part of that was sort of an advertisement to their consulting business, which no shame in that game. But I thought it was really interesting. Other people weren't doing things like that. And I thought that was clever and noteworthy. So I'm curious to see what the presenters will bring this year. So we've been talking about balancing in terms of planning, and I'm curious what balance in terms of actually being there, attending, what that looks like for you. I know something that always kind of gets me when I'm at Summit is seeing during sessions the people that are just out in the hallway on their laptop, or frankly, who are in a session where it's FERPA violations ahoy because they're just doing slate work on their laptop in front of everyone. And you think, oh no, you know, someone paid the money and you spent all the time traveling, you know, to be here, and you're doing work that frankly would be better done in a less distracting environment, just, you know, back at your regular office or desk. And I'm curious, how do you go about setting expectations for what your work is going to be while you're at Summit?
I'll be pretty honest about this. I am a very in the moment kind of focused person, so I can only handle so much code switching at once. I think trying to do Summit and like figure out where I'm going and then getting lost. I'm a very directionally challenged person, so getting lost within the venue is something that I also consider.
And, same. You know,
so I think in terms of like working during Summit, I pretty much block off my calendar, as in you can't get to me unless there is a dire emergency and the application has died, like, and no one can fix it kind of level. I do, you know, provide, this isn't something that you would have to do, but I do provide like my cell phone, because sometimes it can be difficult to have like Teams where Wi-Fi can be spotty sometimes. Mm-hmm. So just having like an alternative contact information if they absolutely did need me. And I think boundaries are important too, right? Your own personal, plus this is a pretty important event for a lot of people, right? So it's kind of like taking into consideration what your time constraints are. Like the emails will always be there when you get back. And like having people cover you for those like at most 2 days that you're going to be attending, I think is really helpful. So just making it very clear that, you know, I can't do certain things during Summit, is just something that I try and tell the rest of the team, that, hey, I can't, sorry.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say, I think we were very supported at UCI by our supervisor and frankly, by broader leadership there, that they felt that us attending this conference was really important. They were in fact really supportive of presenting. That was a departmental goal, was to have employees mm-hmm. present at conferences. So that I think really helped us be able to focus while we were there. I know that not everyone is in it at an institution that's like that. You know, a lot of places, mm-hmm. well, I will say for me, the Launchpad RAP was the first time I had business travel. I had never had a job before where I traveled for business. And I think that is true for a lot of Slate users. It's their first job where they have that opportunity. And mm-hmm. now that, Launchpad is no longer, then, you know, Slate Summit is going to be that one opportunity for people. And I think if people can be in communication with their leadership and with their peers at their institution, that it's not, sure, there's going to be something with yachts, there's a dance party, whatever. But that really, this is the one opportunity to learn these things, to build these networking connections that are just so essential for success in using a Slate instance. And, you know, to say that it's in their institution's best interest for them to be able to focus while there. And I will say, I am an introvert, someone for whom talking, especially with people I don't know very well, can be pretty awkward. I can understand the desire to maybe escape into your laptop. But that's also not really doing yourself any favors. And so I think where you can push past that urge, and hey, you can still be on your phone, you can still be taking handwritten notes, which I will say that is what I do. I handwrite notes, which I realize is perhaps showing my age, but that is what helps me connect and retain information. And then I will label the session that I'm at the start of a page, and then just take notes for as many pages as I need until I get to the next session and write the title there. And that way I'll be able to refer, and I'll like handwrite in my thing, like see screenshot labeled this in phone, which again, a little silly, but it helps me. And you know, helped me both when I was at UCI and now at ReWorkflow. So I'm curious, you know, we're mostly focusing on the official summit events themselves. And I'm kind of curious, I think you've gone to pre-summit events hosted by a Slate partner. Am I correct in thinking about that? Or was that your coworker and I'm misremembering?
That was my coworker, yep.
Sorry. I will say I have previously gone to, before I was at ReWorkflow, when I was still at UCI, I went to a preferred partner event prior to Summit. And I think I was a little more flexible with my coworkers about that than I was about Summit, which I don't know that that makes sense, because the information, frankly, was just as relevant and useful. And there were better snacks.
Swag.
And swag. Yes. Technolutions, step up your game. Because I wanted to be reasonable about what time I could be more easily interrupted and what time I really wanted to focus. So I think for people who know that maybe, you know, hey, you're the one person who knows what's going on in Slate at your institution. Maybe you know that you only have a limited window that you can say, please don't interrupt unless it's truly an emergency. Maybe that's where you're pre-planning and having a sense of, hey, I know we want to roll out project blah, 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 and someone's doing a presentation on blah, blah, blah. So during that hour, it's do not disturb, because this is essential. And then you can free up contact from your institution and, you know, and interruptions during other sessions.
Right. I think that's important to note too, is, you know, you're getting funding to go to Summit, right? In a lot of cases. So it's also, what are you providing the university? I think focusing on what you're providing the university from you going is also important to stress to, you know, leadership if you need to get buy-in, or your boss. A lot of the times for us, it would be, why do you need to go to Summit when they just release what they're going to release during the year in a, you know, summarized document? How is that any different than just going and getting the presentation slides? A lot of it has no context when you just get presentation slides. So that would be another thing to stress. Also, you know, when I first started at UCI and we were pretty new to Slate still, I think it was like year one or two for us. We had a lot of questions still that weren't answered anywhere, unless you had a consultant at that point. You know, things like, why does the reader work like this? What's with our permissions? Why are they doing this? We just had no one to consult. So going to Summit was almost an opportunity for us to take those questions to someone, like anyone pretty much, and ask like, hey, help, essentially. So kind of getting the most out of your free time too in that way really helped with our buy-in to get, you know, funding to go. That was kind of essential at the beginning when we just launched, was, you know, getting additional help outside of just what was available from Technolutions as the package of Slate.
Yes, I remember at my first Summit, there was a presentation, or maybe it was my second. I'm sorry, I'm not being precise here, but one of the first Summits I attended, there was a presentation by some people from UVA who both don't work in Slate anymore. But they did a presentation, and I don't remember what the topic was, but in their presentation, they sort of alluded to their decision letter process, which, as Tiffany knows, our decision letter process, discussion over what that should be, and that whole project at UC Irvine was just a whole thing. It was
hot
a complicated mess. And they talked about their process for decision letters at the graduate level with really decentralized admissions happening. And I was like, that is us. They have the secret. I need to find out more. And it was just this little, you know, kind of glanced by item in their presentation. But I ran into them later at Summit after their presentation, introduced myself, said how much I enjoyed their presentation, and said, you mentioned your decision letter process. We are thinking about that and what we need that to look like for us. I would love to learn more. And they were like, we would love to talk to you about it. And I was like, amazing. And because I had spoken to them in person, then I felt very comfortable emailing them after Summit to say, hi, I'm Megan. We met at Summit. I was interested in learning more about your decision letter process. Are you still available to discuss that? If so, let's get it scheduled. We scheduled. I like took all sorts of notes and ideas from what they shared. And that document was part of our decision letter discussions. I mean, for years, we would refer to that as we were trying to determine how to go forward. But it was so helpful. And I don't think if I were reviewing the presentation slides after, I don't know that I necessarily would have linked into, oh, they mentioned a decision letter process there. Like, I might not have even clicked for me. So there was something about being there in person. And I hope that decision makers at people's institutions understand that.
Oh my gosh, I can't stress that enough, is like just going to Summit in a way. So I'm also an introvert and like have trouble networking. So Summit to me is like super overwhelming in that respect. But I think it is an extraordinary opportunity to get people at the same time where they're, you know, open to talking about what their processes are. They have all this time while they're at Summit to be, you know, learning things and also wanting to provide other institutions with their processes too that they've put in, and just kind of, you know, get a feel of what are other people doing in the system? What are your processes like? How can we change ours? But without Summit, it's kind of, you're just talking to an email. And maybe they're busy, and then maybe you miss that opportunity window, right? So it's kind of the point in time where it's the best possible time to get to know people and create those connections that'll help you longer down the line.
Mm-hmm. I think you also get ideas from people that you might not have a reason to connect with otherwise.
Right.
I have gotten ideas at Summit from people who worked at institutions entirely different from mine, in circumstances totally different from mine. Mm-hmm. And so we would never be in a user group or an affinity group together. You know, we wouldn't have those reasons to connect. Mm-hmm. And so then having the opportunity to hear from them and get their ideas, it's just so nice, right?
Yeah. I mean, I sat at lunch with a group of Midwest schools, and some of them were talking about their marketing. And we don't really touch marketing so much at UCI. And it was just full on extensive. And they had like under 5 people doing that. And it was within their own division that they were handling it. I was just so blown away just listening to their conversation at lunch. Like, you wouldn't have gotten that, you know, having just sat in a group on a webinar or something, right? That mm-hmm. idle chit chat is like really important sometimes.
Yes. This is a great segue for me to plug our next episode. Episode 5 of the podcast is going to be all about networking at Slate Summit. And I'm hoping that both the extroverts and introverts listening will tune in for that one. That's coming out in May. So I'm curious to hear more. You know, we've talked about what our experiences have been at Slate Summit, but I'm curious, you know, we've talked about how you've documented your plans and what your intentions have been going into Slate Summit, how you set goals. How has that worked when you've actually gone? Are there things that you're like, for sure, I'm doing that this year? Are there things that you're like, I want to try this year because this other thing didn't work out the way I expected? What are you thinking about as you consider attending your next summit?
Oh, I think, now I'm like really thinking about this. So it really depends on what projects come up right before summit for us. A lot of the time, we don't really know until, you know, like a lot of institutions, we don't know until it's like very last minute and then everything's like a rush to get going. But we kind of have a general idea of what projects are coming down the pipeline. Like letters of recommendation might be a huge one for us this year. So kind of knowing, so it's talking with my supervisor to kind of see what else might be coming in the future to get a better idea of where I need to focus, because I don't want to say lacking, but kind of lacking in experience on my end on where I need to maybe beef up my knowledge of certain parts of Slate. And then going to those sessions is typically what I do for kind of preparation.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I know that for myself, one thing I'm working on, and this, I suppose, connects to the networking episode as well, is that last year was my first year attending Summit as a consultant. Mm. And there were times where I would meet people and they would say, oh, what school are you with? And I'd say, oh, I'm with ReWorkflow, a preferred partner. And you would just see their face drop because they were preparing themselves for like a sales pitch or something.
Oh, no.
And that's just not me at all. And I was like, oh, I didn't know really how to respond in that moment, because there is just that desire to like defend yourself. Right. But that's not helpful, because even if I were like going to put in the hard sell, like I would say, oh, I'm not really going to give you the hard sell. And then I would do it anyway. Right. So they have no reason to believe me. And so I'm like, I've got to come up with something to be like, I promise I'm not a creep. I don't know. If someone If someone from Technolutions wants to put officially on my badge, like Megan Story, not a creep, I would appreciate some sort of certified kind of, yeah, something for myself so that people didn't respond that way. That'd be great. Just because I said that now, my badge is probably going to say Megan Story, absolute oh creep. I hope not. Please don't. But that is something that I'm trying to figure out. How do I step up that game? And I do also want to be more mindful of, I think I am very mindful of getting down ideas that I get from sessions. But I'm not very mindful about getting down in my notes ideas that I just get from conversations with people, like affinity groups. Again, because it's in that formal setting, I think I'm really good at getting those jotted down. But those ideas that you get waiting in line for meals or at talking at lunch, those are really fruitful times as well. And I think there's times where I'm like, oh, it feels maybe awkward. But I think if I just said to someone, that was really wonderful, I'm going to write that down so I remember it because that was so insightful or useful or whatever. If someone thinks that that's awkward, whatever, but probably they'll just be flattered. They'll be like, oh, wow, she's really taking something from what I'm saying. So I also want to be more mindful about that because that's why we're all there, right? To learn and get those juicy nuggets of sleek goodness, right?
I love that. Yeah, one of my closest friends actually does that, you know, just kind of prefaces it with, hey, that was the best idea. I need to write this down before I forget because I don't want to like forget it essentially. And I think, yeah, it truly is kind of flattering to be like, oh my gosh, she wanted to remember it so much that she has to write it down so she'll go back and look at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Hopefully I won't be too weird with people and I'll get more takeaways from Summit this year. So I'm curious, these are the questions we ask everyone at the end of the podcast. What is one wish you have for Slate Summit?
I would say more spots in popular sessions, or what probably would be an expected popular session. Like a couple of the sessions that I went to were really, really packed were ones that were like portal related, form related, or anything really customizable. So things with preferred partners as they were presenting were really popular topics that a lot of people really wanted to go to. So the sessions were just packed. There were a ton of questions afterwards that were sometimes a little too specific for use cases. Like you couldn't quite understand the use case for what they wanted to use it for. But yeah, just more spots in those sessions. And maybe if there weren't enough spots to like live stream it somewhere so the people outside could be like, hello, I am interested as well.
Yes, I feel like I'm always advocating for a longer summit. That would be my wish that I talk about on the podcast. And I think that connects with what you just said in that I think those really concrete in the weeds sessions do tend to be popular, which I will say, as someone who tends to focus a lot on how to think about Slate, I think those sessions are really important and I wish people valued them more, but I understand why people go to those nitty gritty, here's how I built out blah, blah, blah sessions. Mm-hmm. But I do think, I wonder if there's an opportunity for Technolutions to gauge interest in those beforehand and potentially have them offered twice and have Summit be a little bit longer because there are opportunities to see certain sessions more than once. We'll see if that if that happens in the future.
Those sessions where people are like providing information or they're just relaying their experiences. Like I went to one last year that was all about CAS, and we hadn't implemented CAS, and it was so helpful. And it was, you know, a lot of just relaying what information they had collected over their past year of using the implementation. Like that wasn't a super popular session because not everyone's going to implement CAS, but definitely was something that helped. So sessions like that, great. I love the ones where they have best practices because sometimes, you know, you just don't know what you don't know. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we've already somewhat touched on this, but will we be seeing you at Summit 2024?
Yes, I just got approved to go. So yes, I can confirm I'm going at least.
Wonderful. And is there anything you would like to share about what your participation in Summit might look like this year?
So I am potentially presenting on or in this show and tell, the new show and tell this year. So instead of the month-long webinars, they decided to take Megan Story's idea of doing the show and tell presentations. So I will be presenting there.
Wonderful. Do you have an idea for professional development and slate for people who are unable to attend Summit this year?
Ooh, professional development. Professional development's always something in the back of my mind, kind of working with Slate too, just because there's so many different types of functionality in Slate, really. So you have like events, and then you have form construction, and then you have portals, which is basically like HTML and CSS. So kind of, I think my take is more general on professional development. It's like more learning soft skills from my role right now, to hopefully like enhance my current role at UCI or even in the future. So I think this year I've kind of taken more advantage of the institutional training opportunities that they have. So at UCI, we have Udemy right now. So I've been taking Udemy classes on like learning more business analyst soft skills, because it's something that my background is not in because I'm a humanities major, not a business major. So kind of learning those like basic like stakeholder, you know, takes and how to question people. And is this the best process for what we want to get out of this in the end? So kind of thinking about those has been my priority more so than anything really super specifically Slate.
Yeah, I think that's so great. You know, the majority of people using Slate are in higher education or somewhat affiliated with education. And so hopefully your workplaces are ones that really champion learning and give you opportunities. I know that the universities I've worked at have all really been supportive and have often had a free way of taking courses, whether through Udemy or other services. And that was something that I always enjoyed taking advantage of. So I think that's a great idea and something that would be relevant for a lot of our listeners. So where can those listeners connect with you, Tiffany, if they want to reach out and hear more about documentation or plans for Summit? You know, where should they connect with you?
So I think I'm in everything except for Facebook. So like LinkedIn, I'm in the Slate Slack channel a lot, posting your random, you probably should know that, questions in there. sometimes I post on the Slack or Slate forums, but yeah, anywhere. Or you can email me, anything.
And apparently they could probably also reach out in the Slate Summit app once that's available, huh?
Yes. Yes. really love using that app, shockingly so, honestly. That functionality last year where you could scan other people's like QR codes and add them to your contact list, I think was really cool. Although, you know, being the introvert, I didn't get as many like random people, hey, can we scan QR codes like friends? I'm not creepy. but yeah, Betty will be
certified. Oh, I was going to say, I can certify that you're not creepy. Well, wonderful. I so appreciated this conversation. I hope that it will encourage others to take the time to be thoughtful and plan out what their summit experience, what they would like it to be like, and to set goals for themselves and get those plans and those goals documented so that then they can, you know, implement them or iterate on them and then look and see all that they've accomplished once they are home from summit. So thank you so much for your time and your wisdom today, Tiffany. I really appreciated it. And I know our listeners will as well. And I'll look forward to seeing you at Slate Summit.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the ReWorkflow podcast, Road to Slate Summit. We're releasing episodes monthly as we prepare for Slate Summit in June. You can contact us at podcast@reworkflow.com or learn more about the services we offer on our website at reworkflow.com.